from the streets of Gotham to the furthest Federation outpost. The brave and bold ambassadors of the Nerd Nation bring you the best in reviews, interviews, and more. Prepare for fun, in-depth looks at comic books, movies, and much more. Grab your passports, crank up the sound, get ready because Nerd Nation Radio is on the air.
All right, welcome back to another exciting Nerd Nation Radio. I'm Gene. With me today, as always, Curtis Southard.
I'm in a bad mood.
The Superior Southard. And Jack Gravy Graziano.
Am I brown gravy or white gravy?
Oh, you're brown gravy, baby.
Hell yeah. I am not in that bad of a mood.
I see.
Even good. Though I know my score is for something coming up and I did horrible.
Whoa. Whoa. Swearing 10 seconds into the show is a
29.
Good, is a good sign. 29 seconds into the show. But what we're going to do tonight, we have an amazing show for you. We're going to be talking to Scotty Wheels about Once Upon a Superhero, premiering tonight at Movies of Lake Worth and showing all across the country in the days to come. In March, you're going to be at Man's Chinese Theater. That's kind of a big deal. Yeah, it's a really big deal. That's where real big movies premiere. And this is a smaller movie, obviously. But anyway, we also have some nerd news. We're going to do a new segment called Friends of the Nation, where we push some of our online things that we enjoy, or that we're maybe buddies with the person.
Yes.
And that's what we're going to do. And what else we got? Anything else?
No.
Jack mentioned something about a score.
Movie news.
Box office. We always do box office.
We always do box office report.
Of course we got a box office report. I'm sorry. I've completely forgot a segment that we do on the show every single week. So let's just get to it before my mind completely leaves me.
Hello, you beautiful freaks. This is James Masters, Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, giving you my fake British accent. It is time now for Nerd Nation News, where all the news that's fit to talk about is given to you for free. So listen up.
I'm in a bad mood, so I'm going to go first. Hey, WWE, you got competition with that AEW starting up. So what do? You tick your fans off even more by doing another event in Saudi Arabia.
Are you kidding me?
On May 3rd. Well, they signed like a 5-year deal.
Oh my God.
With Saudi Arabia. You know, as long as Saudi Arabia keeps killing journalists, WWE will keep showing up.
Oh my God.
I'm reading the article here. May 3rd, they're returning to Saudi Arabia for a third event. The greatest royal journalist killing. I don't know what it's going to be called. We'll find out soon. But anyway, I'm reading here, according to Pro Wrestling Sheet's Austin Kellerman, Greatest Royal Rumble last year, which I'll bet it almost a year ago now, supposedly netted them about $40 million. Just that one event. Their entire deal, they'll receive about $450 million over the next few years.
I mean,
in their deal with Saudi Arabia.
Wow.
I didn't see why they're doing that.
There's also supposedly been like a bit of an exit, a handful of people. And when I say a handful, I mean like 37,000 is what's estimated have canceled WWE just in the last few days or whatever. Their subscription.
Good.
I'm not one of them because I'm not a reactionary like that. But I'll have to admit, it is pretty disheartening. A company that I actually really sort of enjoy and I like their...
Well, it's such a part of your life, yeah.
Yeah, it's a major thing. Like, I got network on the day one.
I get
even it. When it didn't work. It didn't work for me for a week, but I bought it.
And you've been a fan your whole life.
I've been a fan my whole life, yeah. I was brought up on the redneck R's, the two R's of redneck. It's it racing and wrestling.
Yeah, I get your disappointment. Like, when recently DC had that whole controversy with the one editor who was apparently harassing people and they were hiding it. That killed me on the same level.
Right.
It's been, you know, it's something you've been a fan of your whole life and suddenly you realize it's kind of a nasty underbelly.
Well, then you realize that this thing that you like, and you're like, hey, they get me. No, they're a company.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's about profit. Yeah, and exactly. I understand that.
That's fine.
I get that. Know. Look, I eat Chick-fil-A sometimes, though.
They're delicious.
I'll go to Jimmy John's.
Little tiny sandwiches. I'll
I was jealous that Jack got Jimmy John's 2 weekends ago when we were watching wrestling, because even if profit to Jimmy John's goes to killing animals in Africa that don't deserve it, that are on the endangered list.
What?
Yeah, the guy who runs Jimmy John's.
He's keep track of all the places I'm not
the guy who to go. The guy who runs Jimmy John's is a big game hunter.
Oh, man.
He goes over and like kills lions.
Like, I can't keep track anymore of what I'm not supposed to watch and what I'm not.
Well, it's like
to
you know, hey, I know he's a big jerk and he's threatened a former president and a potential like a secretary of state at the time, but like, I'm sorry, Uncle Ted. I like Nugent's older stuff. I can't help but not listen to it.
You know what's funny? On this subject, there's a top five we're doing later on that we're recording today, probably. And because of controversy, I kept a certain movie off my list.
Oh, we'll have to talk about that.
We'll talk about that later, maybe off the air, because it was a...
Yeah, that's a weird one.
It was a very yucky film. We're doing... But I'll give it away. We're doing best films from the 90s. And there's one that's so creepy in current context... Maybe. It's so creepy in the current context, I couldn't possibly put it on my list.
Right.
I'll tell you about that later, though.
Yeah, we'll talk about that at the end of the show.
That's a good topic, though, and it's interesting. I think we should do a whole show on it, like discussing...
Creepy stuff?
Like companies we shouldn't
talk about anymore.
I saw a rocking chair rock one time when there was no one in the chair. Is that creepy?
Sweet Jesus.
Everything about you is creepy. So
whoosh. Yeah. That's a whoosh right there.
Good.
Whoosh. There's a promo image for Avengers Endgame that shows the entire team standing there. We are now being led to believe that it might be a fake picture. The Hulk is wearing what appears to be a S.H.I.E.L.D. uniform. I could be wrong about that, but I don't think I am. It looks very clearly like a S.H.I.E.L.D. uniform. And some of the other heroes have updated costumes on it. Like, Disney has not responded one way or another. But it appears that maybe it's not a real image. I assume Disney will come out with something eventually and say whether or not it is. It seems to be that since they're showing so little of the movie, that this image is unlikely to be real. And that's my whoosh.
Yeah, there was something else not too long ago where the Avengers were all like, it showed him jumping and Hulk was wearing like sort of a similar outfit, and then that turned out to not be true.
Yeah, that was a Hulkbuster armor, right?
No, not the armor. He was wearing just sort of like the skin tight, like shield looking.
Yeah.
Remember when he was like Professor Hulk recently? Or not recently, but a few years ago.
When does this movie come
out? Dr. Banner working for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Hmm? When does this movie come out?
End of March.
Yeah,
April?
They're screwing things up. It's not
not in May.
It's May, April. Which is Marvel's slot. I don't know why they didn't keep that.
Now this list because we're going up to April.
Yeah. Now Free Comic Day doesn't have an anchor movie for
you could just wait.
Me. For what?
The movie.
No, I'm saying
it's only like 2 months away.
I'm saying like
60
like
days.
The opening of a movie on Free Comic Day.
No, I'm
tradition.
Talking about trying to figure out what the movie's going to be.
Oh, yeah,
it comes
that's
out.
How
just
I.
Just wait.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Like, they just came out with a trailer for the new Stephen King Pet Sematary movie. Mm. Yeah, I hope you don't want to know what the plot twist is, because it's in the trailer.
Oh, man, I hope you don't want to know what the plot twist is.
It's in the 40-year-old book.
No, it's different. No, it's different. They changed it from the book.
Well, okay. don't call it Pet Sematary.
No one dies. No one dies in this version.
Sometimes
that's wrong.
Isn't better.
It's wrong.
Fred Wynn says
the whole big plot
for
twist
Jack.
In this movie for what they changed
Thomas
from the
Jane
book.
Thomas Jane kills his kid, and
yes.
then the pets come back.
But they literally put the whole big plot twist of the movie in the trailer.
Well, don't forget A Dog's Way Home. We know the dog makes its way home.
It's in the trailer. Question for you, Jack. In Pet Sematary, the pets all die, but they come back. Is that acceptable to you?
Is that cool?
No.
I'm just wondering, because they live.
No, they're not.
In a
they're
weird,
zombies.
Oh, they are zombies.
Yeah. They are zombie-type creatures.
Zombies aren't cool, bro.
They're ghouls, more.
They're ghouls, because they can move fast, and they're vicious, and they seem to have an agenda of pain.
Isn't a ghoul just a fancy zombie?
Ooh, agenda.
A ghoul's a little more, I think, intelligent. Like, ghoul actually is sort of like,
they
you
can
know,
talk.
A being, a, like an evil
But they're
being.
Cats. They're cats and dogs, they don't talk.
But cats are inherently evil.
Zombies don't have any agenda except to eat you.
They are. I'm sorry.
It's debatable.
And zombies are soft and easily killed.
Nah, we'll
Whoosh.
See.
Whoosh.
Whoosh.
Hey, there's another Avengers, go ahead.
You can have it, Jack.
No, you
got
any news?
That's your
news. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Get your news. Go ahead.
That's your piece. Do it.
They were in the Super Bowl ad for the Avengers movie. There was a couple people who were pretty eagle-eyed. that caught that a couple of the stills in the trailer were clearly missing people.
Oh, yeah, they're like big gaps. And yeah, that's what people are trying to point out.
In the walking line.
Yeah. Do you think it's sad to be eagle-eyed when you can't fly?
Okay.
So people are missing from these trailers, and people are figuring that they have...
Well, there's space edited, which looks like a person should be there.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
But the thing has been solved.
Well, it's Howard the Duck.
No, everyone has realized that it's Drax.
Why?
He's just standing still.
Yeah, he's standing
you can't
still.
See him?
Yeah.
Right, he's standing extremely still.
He's standing next to wrestler, what's his name?
Cena?
Yeah.
Oh, John Cena. Yeah.
Him and John Cena
Cena's
are...
Cena's standing there just waving his hand back
John Cena's
forth.
Actually in front of Drax, is what it is. He's figured out a new way to be,
to be invisible.
Unseen, yeah.
I forgot the invisible thing. That was great. That's actually good, Jack. You did good. But who could it be? It could be Hulk. It could be any of the CGI characters.
It's Hulk in the... It's Hulk.
Hulk in
Wakanda.
That suit.
It's Hulk from the Wakanda scene that we never got. That was in the trailer for the first movie that never ended up in the...
You know what you do? Give Hulk, like, vibranium armor. Then he'd be totally unstoppable.
He already is pretty unstoppable.
But with that armor, he'd be...
It's abomination.
Just turn him red and set him on fire.
Bingo.
There you go.
His claws can light on fire. He could be Hulk Wolver.
Hulk-verine.
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 Which is, sadly enough, a real thing.
It's Wolk.
Yeah. No, Hulk-verine is a thing, Jack.
Whoosh.
Weapon H.
Whoosh.
Whoosh.
Anyway. Here's good news. I got some bad news to start with. I'm in a bad mood. Let's make me happier.
Ooh, let's make you happy.
Let's make
you
me happier.
You want a sub?
Simpsons have been renewed for seasons 31 and 32.
Jesus Christ.
Which is even awesomer. At the conclusion of season 32, Simpsons will have produced 713 episodes total. They are the longest running primetime scripted show in television history. They surpassed Gunsmoke in the 29th season. It's currently on 30th season. Show has won 33 Emmy Awards, 34 Annie Awards, whatever that is. 2016 People's Choice Award, 2016 Environmental Media Award. I don't know what that is either. The Peabody, and been nominated for an Academy Award for the short Longest Daycare. The movie grossed $527 million. Hey, man. I know a lot of people like to, like, it's the cool, like, fad thing.
To hate
bash
on the
Simpsons. Yeah, like, everybody's like, oh, Simpsons, but Family Guy's still funny. No, it's not.
No,
it never
first
was.
First of all, Simpsons kills Family Guy. Family Guy is one of those things that's, like, they're funny by pushing the you know, the limits of decency. And that's funny sometimes, but Simpsons is just truly funny.
Yeah.
You don't always have to be, like, dirty to be funny. And
The Simpsons are the best adult-themed cartoon.
Since the Flintstones.
Followed very closely... by Futurama.
Well,
and then you get South Park.
Wow.
And then you get something else, and then you get Family Guy.
In my opinion, South Park's maybe a one-trick pony.
South Park has its moments,
it's
man.
Funny. I'm not saying it's not funny. I'm not saying I don't laugh at it every once in a while. But I can't watch South Park
PC
every week.
PC Principle, baby.
I can't watch it every week because it's just... It's
well, that's because you don't have... You only have basic cable. You don't have the advanced cable.
I have that channel. It's just boring to watch every week.
I think you're wrong. South Park is good.
It's okay. I mean, I do laugh at it. I'm not downing South Park. I'm just saying that The Simpsons is a whole league above that. Just because they're both cartoons doesn't necessarily mean they should be in the same category.
Okay. Yeah.
Simpsons is great. I love Simpsons. I'm a fanboy. I'm biased. I don't care. Whatever.
How long do you think it'll go?
Honestly, I'm one of those finite people. Like, I actually like when something ends.
Right. I'd like
so,
to
like,
see...
So, like, I wouldn't mind seeing Simpsons come to a conclusion at some point.
I wonder
point.
how they
Firefly.
Would.
Just ended. Firefly should have had at least another season or so.
Firefly should have had 7 seasons.
It got a movie.
Yeah.
A movie. 7 seasons of the movie.
It washed off real nice.
Anyway.
Alright.
Yeah, I like when things end. I like when things end. I like when things aren't touched again. Like, I don't like remakes of movies and stuff very much ever.
Yeah, I'm with you. But yeah, Simpsons could be cool.
Yeah.
You know what would be neat if the last season they said it was the last season, and then the whole season they wrapped up various people's stories.
That'd be neat.
Because Simpsons has a...
huge
arguably
cast.
The biggest cast in any TV show ever.
Simpsons?
And yeah, you slowly wrap up their stories. Like a Boo episode and
well, that's already
happened. Right? A Mr. Burns episode.
Did they get rid of a Boo?
They're doing something. Yeah, I don't know.
So
they're
trying to make him less offensive.
Well, people are whining.
People
they're just getting rid of
you know, I saw that documentary.
Indian Descent.
And I understand it. I mean,
it is,
even
it
Hank
is
Azaria, who does the voice up, who... completely, 100%.
I mean, it's mean for pretty, the event of...
Well, yeah, he gets it.
Highly stereotypical character.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I understand it. Look, I'm not an SJW or whatever, like, the disgusted word that people like to throw out there.
You're a white knight, Curtis.
I'm a white knight. But, yeah, I don't think
I
don't think there's any problem listening to some people's...
No.
Criticism or complaints. Right. And I don't immediately get my hackles up just because of something like that.
I think it's great that The Simpsons took this thing that people said, hey, this is offensive, and instead of being like, they're like, okay, well, let's talk about it. That's how the social discourse should go.
Right.
And it rarely ever does.
Right. Anyway, there you go. Simpsons 3132. We got that.
Awesome. There is a The people at Hivemind, which is a production company spinoff from Bad Robot, is actually making a documentary about EC Comics founder William Gaines.
Huh. And how is it going to be connected to Cloverfield?
No. And how his comic company was basically run out of business by the Comics Code Authority. It's a story that I know from reading about it, and I really look forward to watching this. It could be fascinating.
That's cool.
Screw the Comics Code Authority.
Exactly. Damn the
screw
man.
You for forcing people to edit themselves.
Well, because of the Comics Code Authority, we got Zuvembies and Living Vampires.
Screw you, really big.
Zuvembies. When are Zuvembies coming back?
Are you done?
Whoosh.
Thank you. I have one piece of news, actually.
What you got?
Games Workshop is coming out with a new set of Skaven and Flesh Eater models. Skaven are rat men who run underground and attempt to kill non-rat men.
Well, what do they do that for?
Because they're rat bastards. Skaven are actually pretty cool. They're a lot of stuff that they do to themselves as well. They like mutate each other. They put guns on themselves. They shoot green rocks at people. They're pretty neat. They're not my faction of choice, but they do have an appeal to them. And then they're coming out with the Flesh Eaters. They're coming out with a box set for Age of Sigmar. They're going to call it the Carrion Empire.
You would think that the rats would be the Carrions.
No, it would be the vampires.
Okay.
And they're really neat because they're redoing a bunch of sculpts and stuff for them. They're redoing their history.
Carrion's a great Marvel character.
Okay, you say that if you want to.
It's true.
Well, whatever, but it's going to be a really big box set. It looks like it's probably going to be in the $100, $150 range again for another one of their sets. It's going to come with a bunch of pieces.
Ooh-wee.
The models are going to be really cool on them, especially if you're more aligned to the Death faction, which I am.
Mm.
It's cool stuff, and then next year they're coming out with all new Grand Alliance books and stuff for them. They have their Las Vegas Open going on for Games Workshop. They've been just pumping news out and stuff for all that. It's really cool. I'm all about it. I like the games.
Right.
I like their box games more that they have.
Right. You like painting them a lot, right?
I do. It's how I relax.
Yeah.
And
I masturbate.
That's fine. You can do whatever you want. So it's pretty cool, man. I really enjoy it.
Cool.
Whoosh.
Nickelodeon and Netflix are teaming up for two semi-original movies.
I don't
really know why I'm promoting this, because I don't like Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's going to be
cartoon?
The new cartoon.
Okay.
It will be a movie based on that series, but it will be its own thing. It will basically be a movie.
Is this the one where they don't say cowabunga anymore?
You know what? I haven't really watched it. I've just seen the commercials for it. I didn't know anything about it. But
it's real kiddie art.
The art threw me. Raphael is the leader.
Yeah, that's the new one.
And Leonardo is the cool turtle.
Yep.
Really?
They switch places. It's so weird.
Well,
Mikey was never the cool turtle.
Mikey was always the cool
anyway,
turtle.
Anyway, I haven't watched the cool yet. Turtle. So anyway, Netflix is doing a movie, Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Okay, whatever. They're also doing a movie for the show Loud House, which I recently discovered because my youngest watched
it. Yeah, it's not a terrible show.
Yeah, it's all right. But those are coming out later on this year, I guess. Blah, 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 blah. They don't really have... They're not, like I said, not a continuation of the show. So I guess it's just going to be like a feature movie almost on Netflix.
Hmm.
Okay.
That's a good deal. Netflix and Nickelodeon.
I guess.
For them.
Yay!
Even though they already got some stuff. But Hulu tends to have more Nickelodeon stuff. So maybe they're shifting over to Netflix.
Cool.
It's whoever has the
in the streaming wars, yeah. That's actually where I get the streaming wars. It's kind of what we're at right now.
Yeah, we are. Everyone has their own service.
Anyway, I think I'm done with news.
Yeah, I have one more piece.
We're just about back to basic cable. providers at this point.
Yeah, pretty
so
much.
So many choices.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Cut the cord. Okay, cool. Who am I signing up with this week to get
yeah.
the...
Yeah. Oh, no, it's just as much as cable was.
No yep. cord, it's the Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Anyway, whoosh. Uncanny X-Men Winter's End, which was supposed to come out this February, is now slipping till mid-March. So that
That's cool.
would make it winter ended last week.
Yeah, because Punxsutawney saw his shot. And did he? No.
Yes. No. I thought that was early
That
spring.
Little bastard, man. We got 1 week of winter down here. I was just complaining about this off
hey,
the air.
We don't have spring. We go straight into summer, dude.
Yeah.
Like, we're never already back spring. Into it.
Yeah. There's never spring.
No, we get a spring.
Oh, really?
Like, the cold front comes through, makes it cold that night. The next day, it's kind of springy. The and then the day after that, it's hot as balls again.
I don't think you understand the concept
like
of spring.
Like 71.
The concept
day.
Of spring, the flowers come out and it's beautiful.
There's a or bunch fall. Of flowers down here in Florida.
Or fall, where things start to die and it's gorgeous.
It never stops raining and it never stops sunshine.
Yeah, you'd be a fan of the fall. It gets cool. It gets really cool, but it's like a, not a like cold cool. Mm-hmm. It's just nice. You got to put on maybe a light sweater.
Yeah, I don't like that. I like cold. I would prefer to live like in northern
in
Alberta.
Eskimo.
Yeah,
I like the seasons, the change of seasons.
No, I don't.
But Winter's End is not going to be in the winter anymore.
Okay.
Which I hope doesn't affect the Uncanny X-Men book too badly, because I'm really the annual and then the new issue has really turned me around in that book.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. So I hope that keeps up, and I hope it's as awesome as it is now.
It's X-Men. It won't.
I know, but I'm trying. I'm trying to keep the faith on a book I don't have faith in.
Yeah.
And that's hard.
Try harder, homie.
Try harder, homie.
And that's the news.
That's the news. Whoosh.
This episode of Jack's Box Office Report brought to you by Jingle. Jingle, stretch your mind.
Kurt's the smoker now.
Yeah, I'm tired, man.
You look out of it, dude.
All right.
Yeah. All right, hey, it's box office report time, Jack. Tell us what we're doing, you son of a...
Monkey's uncle?
Yeah.
So, we did some bets last week like we always do. Kurt upped it to 3 instead of 2.
Oh, that's right. I did a special one. Did I win?
Yup.
Yay!
Really?
Yeah, unfortunately.
I don't remember the special one.
Well, then it'll be a shock to you.
It will.
Here we go.
These will all be a surprise, so I don't remember any of it.
Run us down the box. I don't give you nothing. We just took a break.
Yeah, but I forgot to open a program.
It took me an hour to find this sheet of paper.
Did it really? That's a long time, homie.
Yeah, he was an archaeologist going through all the old crap.
Whatever. I'll just update it later. So the box office that we have for this week is going to be number one was Glass, pulled in 9.5. So first of all,
Glass is 2 weeks old.
Glass is three weeks old. But this is the first time in 2 years that the box office has not had a single movie make over $10 million.
Well, cool. it's that time of the year, too, where it's like...
It doesn't have to be that time of the year, because they really tried to push Miss Bala.
Yeah, that's
Michelle Rodriguez and the girl and the female director from Twilight.
Yeah, which disappoints me, because I saw the trailer for
that. So Glass pulled in 9.5, which means it won.
Yeah,
the upside pulled in 8.6.
That was number two?
That was number two. Miss Bala comes in at number three.
Oh, wow.
With 6.8.
It started out at number three.
Yes.
With two movies that were old.
But the bright side for the movie Miss Bala.
It was the budget.
If you consider it yes, it's even cheaper than Glass was. It's got a $15 million budget. It's already made half of that.
Well.
So this movie will make back its money.
Maybe. What's the international numbers look like?
It's not going to be big over in the normal... It's not going to do super... Because this movie is aimed specifically at the Spanish-speaking countries. They're aiming it at Brazil, Mexico...
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. Pretty much, and I remember this from my Blockbuster days, looking at movie stuff a lot. Anything with someone shooting a gun does really well overseas. They like dumb action movies. And if this qualifies, I mean, I'm not sure...
So it's made $42,000 overseas.
$42,000?
Yes. Kurt had to cover his face.
Yeah, to yawn.
But then coming in at number four, which is where I get my first point.
Yeah, your only point.
All right, is Aquaman pulling in 4.8?
I said Aquaman would beat Ms. Bala. Okay,
Gene,
okay.
Where did you go?
Gene, I don't know. You
okay?
Oh, so I win.
So me and Gene get a point. Yeah, Kurt loses a, and Kurt does not.
He loses a point.
Yes.
Not only does he not get one, but he loses.
But
one.
Here's where I lose a point.
Uh oh.
And Aquaman pulled in 4.8 at number 4, which means Spider-Man came in 5th place with 4.5.
And which where did I fall on that one?
You agreed with me.
Yay!
That Aquaman... So...
You got 3. You got 3 out of 3.
Did he really?
What?
He got all 3.
What?
Yeah.
Jack,
what was the third one?
Under on Miss Bala.
I took over.
You took over. You were like...
I thought it would do well. Yeah, it looked like a good action movie that I figured should have been pretty good.
What did you get, Jack?
Wait, that's Michelle Rodriguez in that movie?
Yeah.
Michelle Rodriguez.
Well, that's why I bet you she was like 6 of
whoever the director of Twilight was. I don't know what her name
was. I bet you anything she was like 6 of that $15 million budget.
I doubt that.
If females made anything near what guys should make, Michelle Rodriguez would be at the top of that.
I doubt that, too.
Well, she's earned it.
Name a big movie Michelle Rodriguez has been in besides Fast and the Furious.
Well, Fast and the Furious is a big one, I would say.
She wasn't even the main target.
Isn't she in Grindhouse?
One
Michelle
of them.
Michelle Rodriguez?
But then coming in at 6th place was Green Book with 4.3 mil.
Okay.
The Kid Who Would Be King is number 7 with 4.2.
It's not Michelle Rodriguez, it's Gina Rodriguez.
Same thing.
Racist. Oh, Jesus, really?
Really? Racist?
Yeah, wow. It's Gina Rodriguez.
Because I confused two people? Okay.
Yeah.
Jack's racist.
Number 7 is number 8 is A Dog's Way Home.
Only boycott
with 3.6, the dog makes it home.
The dog does make it home, we find that out in the trailer.
Wait, what if he goes through the pet cemetery in Act 2? Dies and comes back. You don't know that.
What if the guy is like, oh my gosh, I'm so amazed you made it home, and then a car hits him as he's
That would be an awesome movie.
You'd cry your ass
off. I would.
Off.
Number 9 is Escape Room, pulling another 2.9, and surprising me at number 10 is They Shall Not Grow Old.
What is that?
That is the Peter Jackson World War I documentary.
I really want to see that.
Wait, Peter Jackson in World War
I? Told you about this like weeks ago.
I'm sure you did, but
Peter Jackson took World War I footage and stuff like that. They completely like redigitized it and colored it. Like it looks amazing.
I want to see that.
I do too.
That.
Yeah.
It's only in 735 theaters, but apparently somewhere along the line it's made 10.7 mil.
Well, we do have a local cinema that does show those small run films.
That's neat.
I guess.
The one that Jack and I frequent.
But that's it. So I got 1 point. Kurt got 2 points.
2.
Gene got 3. Well, so I'm calling this week a wash.
Some of us just know movies and some of us don't.
Okay.
Kurt or Jack.
Let's see how much movies you know.
Okay.
Movies coming out next week.
What do you got?
This week.
Happy Death Day 2.
No. That's next week.
That's next week.
Oh. Okay. See how much I know. I know my movies.
big movie, stop.
There is a big movie this week.
No whammies.
Yes.
The biggest movie coming out this week is going to be Lego Movie 2.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, boy.
Opening to 4,300 theaters.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Big release.
There are also 3 other movies that are large releases.
Who cares? Let's talk about Lego Movie.
Give me a second.
What's the projection?
Cold Pursuit is opening to 26.
Ooh.
That's the Liam Neeson movie.
That movie just had a big... probably a publicity problem.
Yeah.
I don't know how big of a problem it's going to be.
Oh, there's a lot of people already hearing it. I'm already hearing
it's
going to be a problem.
Deal. Yeah, Liam Neeson's kind of...
Which, I don't even want to talk about that because my opinion is not going to be...
You brought it up.
Welcome one.
Oh, really? Amongst me?
Amongst anyone.
Oh, because off the air, I've already browbeat Gene today.
What
about
that?
About
dumb crap. You
about
Kurt's,
dumb stuff.
You tell Kurt's in a bad mood, he just goes off. I sneezed and you're like, that's not how you sneeze.
Anyway, you get the Prodigy opening to 2,500.
Wait, Prodigy? What was that again?
That's that stupid little kid that paints his face up in the sugar.
That's
the sugar skulls.
Pre AOL.
This is the we don't have anything original anymore. So let's
remember
off.
The trailers like the little kid.
The movie
like,
with
like,
Damien.
Yeah, you think it's
Damien
thing.
F that movie. Okay.
And then the other large movie this week is What Men Want.
Oh, yeah, boy. I don't care.
Because of Valentine's Day, that's coming out.
Probably.
Right. It's getting a jump on the other stuff.
So that will come in second, I think, after Lego. Which is, Lego's going to be way above anything.
I didn't write down what men want, but I'll add it to our list.
That's fine, because they're actually predicting that all 4 of the new movies this week are going to be 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Okay, what's the numbers?
So the big movie this week is Lego, and they're predicting 52.5.
I'm going to say over.
Wow,
52. I'm going over. I feel strong about this.
I am going to go over as well because the box. No one's seeing movies,
and it's Lego. I mean,
it is a. It looks good.
I have to go over. I'm positive.
Those movies are wildly popular.
So then we have What Men Want, which is predicting to be at number 2,
and I agree with that.
Pulling in 25 mil.
That's a big.
I'm going to say a little under on that one.
I'm going to go under as well.
But I think it's going to do well. I think it'll be close to that number, but not quite hit it.
I'll go over for the fun of it. Just give us something to compete
about.
No,
pick what you want, baby.
No. We gotta have competition, otherwise it's boring.
Yeah, we all pick the same thing.
I agree, but don't go against what you want.
No,
pick what you want.
You gotta follow your heart, Curtis. The heart wants what the heart wants.
I'm gonna go over.
Okay, then number three we have Cold Pursuit.
Cold Pursuit's gonna make less. Go, give me the thing.
12 points up.
Under. Ooh, Jack's looking like over.
I don't know.
Just say it, Jack. Just say over.
Yeah,
I just
don't follow know. Your heart.
Follow your heart. I'm going to go over. I'm going to pick over because I don't know how much people
after
are really going
to
care
movie,
about.
After you see this movie, you're going to walk around at night looking for any bad Liam Neeson movie.
To kill.
Wow, jeez.
Moving on. What?
Liam Neeson suddenly, like, he's lost his mind and he thinks he's one of the characters from his movie, except he's racist.
He's wandering around looking for Kevin Spacey to kill.
Yeah, he's Kiefer Sutherland in Time to Kill.
Oh, Jesus.
There you go. That's the three picks we got for this week.
No, we got the Prodigy. Four. You got to give us that number.
You
we got
Prodigy,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, we got to
do it. Four of them?
Yeah.
Boom.
There's four new movies.
That's the Prodigy sound. Boom. Dude, I used to Prodigy the hell out of stuff.
Prodigy's estimated at 7.5.
Under.
I'm going under. No, I'm going to go under.
Under, no, under.
Double under.
I think I have to go under.
I can't do that.
You can't. You know that's money. That's gonna make any money. Yeah. People would rather see Liam Neeson than Prodigy.
I honestly think that crap with him is gonna bump up the movie.
What?
Up the movie? Really?
Yeah.
What, you think like people will show up in their white hoods?
Like all righties are gonna go see this all of a sudden?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying any.
Welcome to Comics Gate,
any
Liam
news
Neeson.
Is good news, right? Whatever. Liam, and then
Liam Neeson has been seen hanging out
and then
with
we have three,
Richard Spencer approves.
We have three big movies opening next week for Valentine's Day.
Did we really say all that on the
air?
Yeah,
you are. And I can't edit this out.
Yeah, you can.
No, I can't.
How can
you? My edit
capable.
Button's broken.
He's not capable.
Yeah, you're capable.
First one that's big coming out
right there.
And I'm the bad guy.
Oh, I'm the bad guy?
You're Darth Vader, Jack.
Of course you are.
Yes,
and Kurt the Emperor.
Next week's a big week.
Next week we get three large movies. The first one's going to be Happy Death Day to You.
Which I think will be a big one.
Well, it's a Valentine's movie and people don't want to see that What Men Want thing.
I don't know
if
Happy Death Day is really a Valentine's movie.
It kind of is. It's a date movie.
It's a date movie.
The fun horror movie.
But there's a bigger romantic movie coming out on the 13th because really? They're like, hey, you can't beat us to the punch on Valentine's Day.
The Story of Jack.
And that's Isn't It Romantic?
Oh boy, oh, who's in that? What's that?
I have no idea. I actually care. Have to click on this to see what the hell this is about.
It's a
I have no idea.
It's Tom Hanks and
it's a biopic about.
Oh no! Oh no! It is worse than anything.
He gets
Rebel
bail.
Wilson.
Oh. Rebel Ooh. Wilson.
What yep, is it? It's a Rebel Wilson movie.
Oh, it's under.
Who's Rebel Wilson?
She's a terrible actor.
She's Fat Amy.
What? Jeez, what are you calling people
That's
names?
Her character's name is Fat Amy from the singing movies.
Yes, Pitch Perfect.
Pitch Perfect.
Yeah, I hate her.
Why?
She's all right.
Because she's big?
No, I don't care if she's
you
big.
You insensitive prick.
I like big women, a lot of pushes.
And then...
Jeez.
A lot of what?
That's far from the most offensive thing said in the last 10 minutes. All right?
I know. I had something really offensive to say, but I'm not going to say it.
And then
Jack
the biggest,
won't edit it out. I'll say it off here.
And okay. Then the biggest movie that's going to flop this year is Alita: Battle Angel comes out on the 14th.
Yeah,
no, you know what?
Man,
there's actually a few things to consider with this movie. Number one, and I'm not sure how big a difference this is going to make.
Alita is going to bomb harder than Hiroshima.
Here's the thing. If you're a T-Mobile customer, you can get tickets for $4.
So oh, wow. That, T-Mobile stepping up to make Alita: Battle Angel.
I don't believe you already jump on me on what
Listen,
I said.
Are there enough customers for that to make a difference? I don't know.
No, there's not.
I don't know, but it's going to...
It's not.
It's the only reason I'm going to go see it.
I'm so glad that you keep pushing the T-Mobile app because
not.
I'm going to go get my free socks.
I mean, jeez, if Sprint were to take this up and promote this show, too...
You are such a flame.
I'm wearing them right now. T-Mobile socks, baby.
If Sprint were to step up and also promote this, I mean, geez, this might
anyone,
be best
you know
picture
what?
Next
anyone,
year.
Anyone that gives free stuff out, I'm all for.
I mean, heck, if Nextel picks this thing up and starts promoting it as well, this thing might beat
I can't wait to
Titanic.
Stream this to my Motorola Razr flip phone.
Hey, I hate those phones. With my fat fingers, I always dial the wrong number on the Razrs.
What's new?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Now we're going to talk with Scotty Wheels. Hey, this is Gene, and you're listening to Nerd Nation Radio.
And tonight we're here talking to producer Scotty Wheels. He's here to talk about his new film, Once Upon a Superhero. How are you, Scotty?
Doing great, Gene. Thanks so much for having me on. How are you today?
I'm amazing. I'm really excited to see this movie, and it's airing tonight at Movies of Lake Worth. So all you Nerd Nation fans need to come on out. And by the way, if you do come on out and you see me in my Nerd Nation t-shirt or Engineer Jack, hit me up, and there might be a prize waiting for you if you're one of the first to see me. But anyway, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk to Scotty. I'm very happy to have you here, and I hope you're enjoying your stay in Florida.
Gene, I am a long-time back-and-forth lover of Florida. I've lived here myself a little bit, went to school in Gainesville briefly before they threw me out of there in under a year. But I have a long history with Florida, so I'm super stoked to be down here and getting ready to show the film tonight.
Excellent. Now, did you move to L.A. to pursue filmmaking?
Yeah, I had become friends with a buddy of mine who I've lived in L.A. two different times. The first time I moved there, I met director John Klein, but at that time we weren't really talking about film. I had moved back to New York briefly, and then upon moving back to Los Angeles, John had written several scripts and had approached me about producing them. And, you know, basically we wanted to take our own route and go independently, not be so much tied down to studio type films, but really push the envelope of independent filmmaking was our goal from the get-go. And that kind of started our journey back at that. So when I moved back, you know, I started to check out some of the scripts, and that's where we began.
So you're in L.A., you decided to make a film. How did Once Upon a Superhero come about?
Well, funny story, it was originally a short film about a guy who believed he was Space Ghost. And we had, the film has some pretty racy content in it. And even at the time when it was still a short film, it had some of the more racier elements attached to it. And Warner Brothers had owned the rights, and they certainly weren't going to let us do that. So we forged our own path and came up with our own character, Solar Flare. And Solar Flare began the process where John had stepped back and started to rewrite the script around this, which is where it currently landed, which is about a guy who truly believes he is has been exiled to Earth without his superpowers for 189 days. And that really began the process of him going back. And then he turned around and was like, you know what? I think we have a full feature film here. And that's how it unraveled. And here we are 6 years later with an hour and 52 minute feature.
Wow. Now you mentioned that you actually filmed this in your apartment or in your apartment building.
No, we didn't film it in the apartment. We made the whole movie out of our apartment building. John and I have been roommates going back to 2009. So our whole apartment became shifted with each phase of our production. You know, when we were in pre-production and designing the costumes and preparing the whole thing and doing table reads, we would do all of that out of the apartment. And then when we began the filming process, you know, from being out there, a lot of what we filmed, we live, just to give your audience a little perspective, we live in Hollywood, three blocks northwest of Hollywood and Highland, which is really the OG center of this cosplay universe that has just expanded like crazy to Vegas.
Certainly.
And Times Square now. But that stuff was really prevalent in our neighborhood. And, you know, it began this process of, like, you know, when we were going through the production of it, everything was right there, and all the filming we did was in and around the area. So it made it really easy. You know, we would have people running back and forth, charging batteries, bringing it back to us on Hollywood Boulevard or wherever we were guerrilla filming that day, and, you know, so forth. And then post-production, you know, all the editing, John and our editor, Baba, spent like 2 years in the apartment editing the film. The editing is just off the charts phenomenal. And then as well, working the score of the film with a gentleman named Firas, And the score just really propels the picture and really holds it together in another way. You know, everybody loves the score of the movie so far that has seen it. I hear that constantly. So, yeah, so the apartment was the epicenter through the entire process.
The heart of the film. Yeah, I get it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now, you mentioned the term guerrilla filmmaking. For some of our listeners that might not know what that is, can you explain how this film was made using guerrilla tactics?
Well, you know, going back to what I had mentioned earlier, you know, our whole thing was we wanted to push the envelope of independent filmmaking and do something different, you know, lay something out there to challenge originality, you know, to inspire other filmmakers. And with guerrilla filmmaking, that means no permits, no rules, no nothing. That's how we did this film. We did this film out of an apartment in Hollywood with absolutely no permits, no budget, no rules, just a real insane passion for filmmaking and bringing this thing to the finish line, which took 6 years.
That's incredibly ballsy. Did you actually run into any trouble with filming where you shouldn't have been?
You know, we really traveled with a very skeletal crew. All the details were very thought out. We did not try to make anything obvious. We were pretty clean most of the way. Nobody really ever bothered us. And we were filming right in the middle of a lot of human traffic, you know, on Hollywood Boulevard, all the tourists right on Hollywood and Highland. So it's also a little bit easier to kind of camouflage yourself and step into the background because there's a lot of people walking around with cameras in Hollywood, you know, for a variety
and whatnot.
Yeah. So we're certainly not the only ones, but we were mindful. The only time we ever had an issue, we were actually filming in a park, and I won't name the park. We were filming in the park, and they were filming a commercial under us, and somebody came up to us and was like, "Hey, do you guys have permits?" And we were like, I forgot what we said, but we always traveled with a crisp 100 or two. And needless to say, we greased a palm or two, and they left us alone, and we were able to film. And it was an intricate part of the movie, the scene we were shooting that day. And it was something that was very difficult to schedule in the first place, so we really needed to get it that day.
That's so amazing. Kind of working, like, right under their noses, but off the grid. That's pretty amazing to me.
You know, that's the way we did the whole thing. You know, we're under the commercial and, you know, right where we're supposed to be in the gritty side of things.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Now, as far as the film itself, because you hired some pretty great actors. Some of them are really going places based on what I'm seeing on their IMDb pages. Now, how did you fund the film? Were there investors or you did it all yourself?
Everything was self-funded.
Wow.
Everything was done over the course of time. Like I said, when John had initially approached me about producing and, you know, first thing he was just like, you know what, Disney's not going to come knocking on our door. You know, I'm going to fund this. We're going to do this in the most cost-effective way. And that was the other thing we wanted to show filmmakers. You don't need to sit there and waste millions and whatever Hollywood does with these movies, and God knows how much wasteful spending, and you can make something of supreme quality in under $1 million or $500,000, you know. And that was also another thing that we were really adamant about is making this film for as bare bones as possible for truly, you know, you always want to pay everybody for their work, and of course everybody deserves everything, but also when you're building your name and you're trying to be taken seriously, and when you're looking to win the title and you have that hunger in your eyes, you'll do whatever it takes to make that happen at that time. And I think for us, the main players in this movie, we were all locked in and focused on another level.
Yeah, see, that's incredible. On this show, we talked to a lot of independent comic book makers, and they have that same feeling. So you have some incredible actors on this film, and some of them, since making the film, because it took you a number of years, have really shot up. Specifically, I noticed Yvette, and I can't remember her last name. I'm sorry, I don't have it written down here. Is she your female lead on the show, on the movie?
Yvette Monreal. Yvette Monreal.
Yes, and she's really going places. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Her name was Yvette Monreal.
Okay.
Yvette Monreal.
Right. Specifically, Yvette Monreal, she seems to really be going places right now. She's starring in the new Rambo film coming up. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, John and I are really beyond stoked. Number one, Yvette is just such a great, great person, really wonderful girl, and awesome to see her going places. What's really interesting, when she shot this with us, I think at that time she was only around 20 or 21. She didn't even have an agent or a manager yet. And while we went through a 3-4 year post-production process, she's been rising, and next thing you know, she's coming out in the new Rambo. John and I being huge Stallone fans from back in the day, God knows how many times I've watched all the Rockies and Rambos.
Sure.
And yeah, she also just got cast in DC's new series Stargirl, which is very exciting. Can't say anything about the character, but keep an eye out for her. She's going to have a big year.
I am so excited for that show, and I might actually spring for the DC streaming service just for that show, so I'm kind of excited to see her pop up in there.
Yeah, check out her Instagram, at Yvette Monreal. I believe she just posted some stuff with the costuming and gave some sneak peeks, and just posted some cool screenshots from the upcoming Rambo.
Oh, excellent. I'll definitely hit that up, and all the Nerd Nation Radio fans should go to her Instagram and like it, and as well as the Once Upon a Superhero page. And where else are you? You're on Instagram as well, Scotty?
Yes, our Instagram is at Once Upon a Superhero the Movie.
Excellent. So everyone
and
go
our
like
website
that page.
Is Yep. And our website is onceuponasuperhero.com.
Excellent. Terrific. So you're going to be tonight, this is Friday, you're going to be appearing at Movies of Lake Worth. The showing is at 9 o'clock. If they show up a little bit early, will they see you rambling around the movie theater to meet people?
They will 100% see me. I would love to meet some people in person. I really genuinely enjoy that. I love talking about the film. I am going to be doing an introduction, and I'm also going to be taking questions after, and God knows people have many questions after they see this movie, so you definitely don't want to miss this, because I'm sure Lake Worth doesn't always have events like this, and Once Upon a Superhero is truly a special film. Sadly, we only get one playing time. We are moving along, so please get out and take advantage of this time to see it. Once Upon a Superhero was meant to be seen on the big screen. The entire film is a moving art piece. And I just was in there last night doing a test. The sound, the screen, everything is off the charts in there. Can't wait to show it inside that theater.
Yes, it's going to be a remarkable night. I'm going to be there with bells on. I'm dragging Engineer Jack with me tonight. He likes going there as well. We usually go there for the Morbid Movies event that Movies of Lake Worth do about once a month. Michael Favato, who runs that, is a great guy. Hopefully we'll see him tonight.
Yeah, I've heard all about the Morbid Movie series, and that sounds, you know, that crowd, I believe, is right up the Once Upon a Superhero alley, and I check programming over there, which looks like a lot of fun, and if you're into that kind of programming, I'm pretty confident you will dig Once Upon a Superhero.
Excellent. I know a lot of my indie film fans and comic book movie friends, I've let them know that this is airing tonight, and they're looking forward to it as well. And I think, tell me if there's anything that we missed that I should have mentioned in our little talk here.
Yeah, well, let me tell you a little something about Once Upon a Superhero. It's about a self-proclaimed superhero who goes by the name of Solar Flare, who has been exiled to Hollywood, California without his superpowers for 189 days. And as he begins to meet the underbelly, he descends into a drug-induced loss of self as he awaits the return of his superpowers.
That's incredible. I cannot wait to see this film. I could not be more excited to go and experience this with you tonight.
Hey, I really appreciate that, and I really appreciate the Nerd Nation support. You guys have been fantastic. You know, so many people down here I really have enjoyed already meeting and talking to several different people, from the students at Palm Beach State College yesterday and their film school, to Nerd Nation and several others. What a great community down here, and I'm super stoked to be able to show it to you guys.
So, Scotty, I hear there is a dog in this film. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, yes, there is, and he has a very memorable 10 to 15 minutes of screen time. His name is Little Boulevard, and he is the companion of one of the co-stars, Solar Flare's best friend, Captain Boulevard. And Little Boulevard is actually director John Klein's dog, who is a rescue dog from downtown Los Angeles. So one of the things we've been doing while we are setting up shows, and tonight's actually the first time we are doing this, and we're going to start adding this on all future shows, we've put together a group called Little Boulevard's Rescue Team, where we're going to be working with local animal shelters at upcoming shows. And tonight we are teaming up with Helping Paws 22, which works with a bunch of different rescue shelters in South Florida, puppies, adoptees, dogs that have been attacked or abandoned or whatever the case may be. If anybody can make a small donation, you could do helpingpaws22@yahoo.com and help those dogs. There's a lot of other ways you can contribute to, not just money. Volunteering time and just helping spread the word is always appreciated. We're big dog lovers and animal lovers in general, and would love to help some pups out there.
Great. And, you know, if anyone does donate, hit me up via email, gene@nerdnationradio.com, and I'll send you a free digital comic. Just do this, because I'm an animal lover myself, and I feel this is very important. And I'm glad you're doing it, and I thank you for your service to the animals.
Hey, we hope to generally get it bigger and bigger. Like I said, it's our first time doing it, and it's something we're going to continue to do and continue to grow with time. And I thank you for supporting that and offering that. That's really kind of you.
Absolutely. All right. I will see you there tonight, sir.
I look forward to it. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Of course.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Jet Set Radio.
Hey, this is Jack, and you're listening to Nerd Nation Radio.
And now we have a new segment called Friends of the Nation, where Nerd Nation pushes and promotes some friends of ours who are not T-Mobile.
Yeah.
So, Kurt, would you like to go first, or would you like me to?
I'll go first. Look, I got a buddy on YouTube, a good guy named Brian Jones, B-R-Y-A-N. He's a young man, lives up in, I believe, Missouri. Does a lot of just stuff, staring at the camera, talking, reviewing foods and whatnot. He's a really good guy, though. Really nice guy. I came across him on an accident, and he's really friendly, really good guy. I'd like to throw a shout-out to him. He was celebrating over 500 subscribers recently.
Excellent. Well, good for him.
Good for him. Brian Jones, B-R-Y-A-N Jones.
He's fun if you're a Superman fan.
Fan. Yeah, he's just a good guy. He reads stuff and stuff like that. Go check him out. Give him some love. Tell him Nerd Nation Radio. Kurt sent you. I'm always on there leaving him comments and stuff.
Yeah, he's an absolutely cool guy. I enjoy watching his show a lot.
Yeah, and he's a fun guy. And actually, we talked to him online and stuff like that. We reached out to him. He's fun. Nice guy.
Hopefully, we can get him on the show. One of the good things I like about Brian is he keeps stuff pretty short, 20 to 30 minutes usually.
Very positive dude.
Yeah. We need more Brians in the world.
Definitely.
All right. I'm going to throw my next first one out
there.
Yeah,
go ahead.
My friend Katrina Rowitz, I believe I pronounced that correctly, runs a site called Geekorama.net. They're heavy into reviewing comics, mostly indie comics, but pretty much anything that they choose to do. There's a lot of great talent over there that do the reviews, and Katrina herself is a big advocate of indie comics, and I appreciate all she does, and I definitely want to give her a shout-out on this show.
Yeah. I got a buddy named Bobby T, who back in the day we used to work together, hang out. He's a good guy. He has a YouTube channel. He's actually had a few different YouTube things going on. But he has a channel, This Toy Life, that he's doing right now. He's also on Instagram, I believe, This Toy Life, and maybe even Bobby T something. I should have wrote this down. Anyway, check him out, This Toy Life, YouTube. Instagram. Lots of stuff about toys, wrestling, metal.
Yeah, Bobby's a cool guy.
He's a good guy. You should check him out. There you go.
Yeah. Let's see. My next one is actually, if you're a longtime listener of Nerd Nation, you remember my former co-host, Seek Donnelly, who's now running a YouTube show called Venom Vlog about all things Venom. You can find him on Instagram at Venom Vlog or on YouTube. His show's pretty fun. He really goes in-depth to the comics and some of the movie stuff, and it's really fantastic. It's the deep diving that I wish we had time to do on our show. I really, really like what he does. He's a fun guy. He's our former co-host, and we love him, because he's a cuddly bear, just like Curtis and Jack.
Also, Seek and Destroy. Seek and Destroy is his name on Instagram. Yes. And he's on there a lot doing stuff.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
It's spelled S-I-I...
K-E.
K-E.
Yeah, Seek and Destroy.
And D-E-S-T-R-O-Y.
Yes, yeah, obviously, true. Right.
Yeah. And A-N-D.
Yeah.
I think it's the and sign.
Oh, I don't know.
You wouldn't know because you don't care.
I follow him, I just don't remember. But yeah, Seek and Destroy. You can look it up either way, it'll show up.
There you go.
Yeah, Jack, are there any websites or anything you want to push? Not this week?
Or? Reddit.
Yes. There's a subreddit.
A little site called Tentacle Love. 4chan.
Oh, yeah.
Jack started that subreddit himself, actually.
Duh.
No, for real. You gotta
NerdNationRadio.com.
Well, you should definitely go there. The coolest guys in the block hang out there and talk nerdy. I don't
know about that.
Well, me and Kurt. And Jack comes along with us.
I'm there sometimes.
Yeah, Jack's there sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Anything else, Curtis?
That's it.
All right, so that's Friends of the Nation.
I'm going to watch an MMA fight on my
hopefully, at some point in the near future, we'll have a tab on our website with the links to these places.
Yeah, we really should. We should really step up our game.
We should.
Yeah, we're kind of losers right now.
On the website, yeah. We got to step up on the website. And guys, if you're listening, bother us about that. Say, hey, why isn't the website updated that much?
Don't bother us
too
much.
It's updated every bloody week.
Jack at NerdNationRadio.com.
Don't pester us. Yeah. Jack at NerdNationRadio. Don't go to Gene at NerdNationRadio. Otherwise, you get passive aggressive when you really lay into him about something.
Oh, please. How have I been passive aggressive at all?
You were. Earlier, you were. It's funny.
Whatever. I don't care.
Anyway. We got other stuff to do. Look for our other crap. Love Stinks Week. Love Stinks Week, if you're listening, has been up top five specials all week this week.
Yes.
And then next week will be Nerd Love Week.
Yes, for if you love love, like me and Kurt love love.
We do love love.
Jack has took over the radio waves last week with Love Stinks Week. And now Curtis and I are here to show you love.
When you start the episode, don't worry, it's not the end. It just sounds like it.
Look, that has been fixed.
Already fixed, really?
Yeah.
How?
Wow. I fixed it.
Really?
Holy crap.
Okay, well, it's fixed already, folks, so my joke doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
It never did.
And don't forget to go see Once Upon a Superhero tonight. Lake Worth...
Movies of
Lake Worth. Special showing.
You'll see Engineer Jack and I there.
Maybe.
Gene and Jack may be there, even though they just had a stare down
Jack's very angry at me right now. And you know what? I'm gonna make it up to him in the top five by voting for his crap.
Oh, no. That's going into the bloopers, baby.
A little behind the scenes, folks. We've all made each other angry at each other
today. Today, it's a very volatile day here at the Nerd Nation Studios.
Anyway, that's the show.
That's the show.
You got an interview from us. You got a couple movie picks from us. I lost horribly in the movie picks last week. Don't worry about that. I'm coming back this week,
but
baby.
But didn't you do good in wrestling last week?
It wasn't last week. I'm in second place in wrestling.
So it all evens out in the end.
I mean, right. To get technical, even though I went 1-2 this week, and you went 3-0, you're only a point above me now, bro.
Right, yeah. Well, this week it's...
So it's all close still.
Yeah, this week saved me, because my wrestling stats have turned to crap.
They were
really good initially.
You have 2 points for wrestling. Yeah. I've got 4. Kurt has 5.
But I'm pretty
sure
my first 2 were the first 2 weeks. So it looked like I was doing great, and then...
What do you mean weeks? We've only done one wrestling pick.
No.
Yes, we've only had one pay-per-view. Well, WWE's only had one pay-per-view.
We've done a lot of these predictions.
Not for this year.
Well, all right, last year, whatever.
Last year doesn't count, bro. That's done.
Oh, I see.
That's out. No one has this. Do you have the score for last year still?
Yeah, I did 7, you did 0.
Okay. I got 1.
I don't know. I'm just making up.
We tied.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But that's it. So that was the show. We covered some stuff. We're going to cover some more stuff next week. Don't forget to listen to We've Got Issues.
Yeah.
Volume 2, number 6 is coming up.
That's right.
It features some books from companies.
Some big comic stuff came out this week.
Yeah, it's a good week for books. Definitely listen to that show. Me and Kurt have some interesting insight into the books and as to what's worth reading.
Just make sure you definitely ask the correct questions.
Yes. And every time you think... No, I don't know.
Ask it again, but
ask
this
it
way.
Ask it again, yeah.
So tune in.
I was going somewhere.
Nerd out.
Thanks for listening. Visit us online at NerdNationRadio.com.
Like us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Grindr at NerdNationRadio.
So until next time, tune in. Nerd out.